Welcome. Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send us a question or a favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they are archived on our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about searching for alternative solutions, right? Sometimes we have an idea in our mind when we start, and when we get into it, we find out that we might well need to have a modification because the original idea might not be practical, might not be something that at the present time can be done, because after all, things change, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, within our context, let's ask kind of a primary question. Within our context of alternative dispute resolution, a mediation, a negotiation, something where we need consensus building and to go forward to a successful outcome, within our context, what types of events or issues kind of precipitate the search for an alternative solution? What if we've seen that really happen and we go, oh, let's think outside the box, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is not a scripted show, so we'll do this according to the ideas that you have, and we'll talk about them, right? Right. And find a practical solution, because we like theory as well as anybody else, but we like pragmatism too. We like to have a practical solution. Mm-hmm. So, I think that our first topic we're going to be talking about, I'm going to call it change in outside circumstances. Something has happened in the big wide world, and we need to change course. We need to think about something differently than we have before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to change our ideas about something. Mm-hmm. So, something has occurred. A lot of people are talking about new laws have been written, new laws have come into effect, and they change what it is that we're doing. They might make it, well, they might make what our proposed action was kind of illegal. So we need to go forward and find something that will fit under the new law. Mm-hmm. This is a good point. People are talking about what I'm going to call new science, new technology. Something has come into the world that changes what we need to do, although we still have issues and we still need to go forward, right? Technology changes very quickly, of course, and so does science nowadays. Something has been discovered. Something has been, well, put out into the world, been done. Mm-hmm. And I think the third one under outside circumstances is really going to be what I'm going to call political shift. Something has happened in the political world, the governmental world, that affects us, and we have to take it into account. Mm-hmm. The second topic I think is the most popular is going to be funding changes, money. Well, money is always very important. Mm-hmm. People are talking about grant writing and the fact that if you don't get a grant or if grant isn't renewed, that things are, well, we need an alternative solution, right? Mm-hmm. The funding source fails, yes. Now, this is optimistic, and I'm proud of you guys because we always try to be optimistic on this show. Quite a few people are talking about the fact that sometimes you get surprise funding. You get more funding than you thought you were going to have, and you can now make plans for something even bigger and better. Yes, I so approve of optimism. What a good idea. Yeah, we've gotten more, and we're going to go forward and think about what we're going to do, what our priorities are going to be. Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? So it's always good to get more. So funding both ways. Funding, we got more. And funding, whoops, we kind of missed it. This happens a lot, too. I'm going to call this the research showed you something. When you get into the topics, when you get into the issues, when you get into the negotiation and the consensus building, sometimes something becomes apparent. You find out something, and you go, ooh, didn't think about it from that direction. Or, ooh, this has been tried, and let's just say it wasn't successful. Let's find out how come. That kind of thing where you have to go, oh, now that we've really looked into this seriously, let's think about it for a minute. Is this a good idea? Yeah. And you have to think on it and go, not so sure. Yeah. So you've got research that needs to be thought about, right? And yes, I think the last one, because we're going to run out of time, is going to be talking about the media, both the traditional media and what's, well, you know, they call it non-traditional media, but really, folks, all that kind of online stuff has been around quite a while. So I think it's about to become traditional media. But media, people looking at it and people thinking about it and outsiders having an opinion type media. Yeah. And that's always something to be taken into account, right? Yeah. So media, public media, and what they're saying. So let's look at these one by one, these topics, and let's think about practical ways to do something about them, to really be able to go forward and reach our successful outcome. We need to have consensus first. And we might have to have consensus on an alternative solution than what we came in thinking about. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. I'm not sure if this is an Americanism or not. And this probably translated into every language. In the United States, a lot of times we'd call that thinking outside the box. The box being the traditional way of thinking about something. And then you go, you know, that's not working out. Let's think about it. Let's analyze it. Let's see what it is that needs to be done so that we can go forward on this. Right? Yeah. And so that's thinking outside the box. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so let's do outside circumstances. The first one we said was new laws. Something has come into effect. Sometimes it's because we have worked on it. We and others of our kind who have the same opinions and the same interests, and we go, wow, we have effectuated change. This is fabulous. Yes, new laws, something good has happened. The law has changed. But maybe now we need to be vigilant about its enforcement and whether or not we need to work in other areas to get the law changed too. Yes. A lot of you were giving examples, and thank you very much. Thank you for all of your participation. If you want to find other prior shows, they're archived on the website recipeforpeacenow.com. I think I don't say that enough because people send emails like, where can we find the other shows? I'm like, go on the website. Yay, team. We've been doing this for quite a while, and the titles tend not to be very long, and they tend to be kind of self-explanatory. So you can see what it is you'd like to look at. They are not alphabetized. They are done by date. That is a kind of a rule of the service that we use. Yeah, people are saying it would be easier if we alphabetize the things. And that would probably be true, but they won't. But the server that we use, the service for the bot, right, for the radio show, won't let us alphabetize them because we did ask. And they are by date. And so, but you can run your eye down the titles and see what it is that you... We try to be real clear on the title and kind of succinct so that you know what it's about. Yeah, Yeah, so it's alphabetized. It's not alphabetized. It's by date. Yeah. Okay, outside circumstances, new laws. Sometimes new laws come into effect and they need to be interpreted, especially, I think, in the United States and other places too, where sometimes they're not exactly written as clearly as they could be, right? Yeah, and they need some interpretation, and we'd like to have it interpreted properly. Yes, the courts do the interpretation, and then the government, essentially speaking, enforces what the courts say they're supposed to enforce. We have a kind of a check and balances system. A good example, people are giving examples and like that, and it's fabulous. One of my favorite examples that sometimes we use on this show is alternative thinking outside the box. In the United States, marijuana is illegal, federally illegal. There's federal laws, state laws, and then a whole bunch of kind of municipality, city, local ordinance type laws. They go in that order. Federal trumps everything. Federal, still illegal. Tried for years and years and years. All kinds of coalitions. Yeah, we're going to be talking about the media later on today because that's our fourth topic. And all kinds of coalitions and like that got together, tried to at least make medical marijuana legal. Right? Alleviates all kinds of ucky pain. I mean, just horrible things. And nowadays, marijuana is bred, the right word? Grown, I guess, would be the right word. It's kind of, they do hybrids and things that have exact effects on pain and don't have recreational uses. It is my understanding. I'm very fortunate that I don't need to use such a thing. But I think if you need it, it should be available. I really do. So that's my bias. But anyway, so marijuana, a lot of coalitions, a lot of groups, a lot of media hype tried getting the federal government to change their mind. The federal government being a bunch of folk who need to be reelected in their home district. Right, right. And so they were all scared to come out and say they thought it should be legal. Presidents didn't want to say they thought it should be legal. It's kind of a contentious issue. I act like it's not because in my mind it's not, but I understand that people have real issues about legalization of any kind of a drug, and they still think it's all recreational, right? Right. So, couldn't get it done federally. Couldn't. Just wouldn't budge. Well, what are you going to do? The federal law trumps everything, right? I just explained that. Federal enforcement, federally illegal. And people do go to jail for selling marijuana and for buying it and like that. Well, let's think about it a minute. What's our alternative solution? Well, it's going to have to be something kind of crazy because we can't do it the real way, the sensible way. So what happened? We all had to think outside the box, have alternative ideas. Oh, my goodness. Let's see if we can get it on state ballots. But the federal could still enforce that it's illegal. And that's putting an federally illegal thing on a state ballot for voters to vote on. Let's try it. And so that's what happened. That's truly thinking outside the box and getting an alternative resource, an alternative path, an alternative idea. Never been tried before. Really kind of crazed because the federal government, it's still illegal and they enforce the drug laws. But because our federal government is kind of citizen-centric in the sense that they have to be re-voted in every 4 years by the citizenry, that would be us, and the citizenry, the people in the United States, in a lot of states, not all of them, really approved of the idea of at least medical marijuana, because we could all see the point that it's herbal. It's better on your system than opiates. And you never know when you need to use such a thing. I mean, at the moment, I don't have to, but you never know when you have an accident or something and you get a pinched nerve and it's really important, or you get older and you get glaucoma or something like that. And it, you know what I mean? It's got a lot of uses that you would like to have available to you, right? Right. So the citizenry said, yeah, bring it on. A few states to begin with. And now more and more thinking about it because they can see the federal government's not coming in and swooping down. And then the President of the United States said that although those laws were still on the books, enforcement was not going to be a priority, which means they could, but they won't. But we've got a new president, so it's hard to know. But it's a booming industry. I live in a state where we were one of the first to legalize. We actually legalized recreational. We've got actual stores where you can go in and really act like you're in a marijuana boutique. I mean, they sell chocolates that are dosed with marijuana and stuff. It's really quite the experience. And lots of taxes are being collected. See, the government's happy too. Mm-hmm. And the citizens probably don't want to go back. And so this makes a difference. Federal still hasn't legalized, but it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are asking if I think under our new administration, you all know that we have a new president, President Trump. He's been in, a few months, yeah? Whether I think that will affect it, I have no idea. I don't do politics in that sense. And I would say the states would prefer that they keep all that lovely tax money because it's taxed like cigarettes. It's taxed as a luxury. It, in the United States, is what they call a sin tax, S-I-N. I don't know if that's legally what it's called, but that's what everybody calls it. Stuff that is kind of recreational. See, the medical is not taxed at all. But the recreational is taxed very highly. There's lots of different states and local and stuff taxes on it, which brings in a lot of revenue. Yeah. And cigarettes and liquor and stuff have the same thing. That's why they call it a sin tax. S-I-N. It's kind of funny, but yeah, because it's not much of a sin, but it's kind of a luxury tax, if you will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, new law-ish, that is local-ish, state-ish, but not federal. Isn't that an alternative solution? Yeah. Yeah, people are saying it's kind of scary for the businesses and like that. Well, yes, but it's an adventure, and you go in. I'm not on the business side of it. So you go in with understanding that it's possible that something might go strange. Did you guys hear a beep? Have we gone off? Hmm? Are we down? How come it's beeping? Isn't that weird? Are you hearing a beep? I'm hearing a beep on my phone. On my, it's not really a phone, but you know what I mean, on the equipment. Anyway, so there was a beep. If I'm still here, this still seems to be counting down, so let's still talk. Mm-hmm. James and others are saying it could be a positive law change like this, right? Mm-hmm. And you can work on a new problem if you no longer have to work on the old problem and you're a tight group. This is a real good point. Sometimes things go your way. And you go, hot diggity, we don't have to fight for that anymore because it's been done. Fabulous. But we're a really good group and we're really good at this and we're really well organized. And there's other, maybe even similar issues that need to be resolved and the world needs help still. Let's work on those, right? Yeah, what a great idea. Let's do it. Let's keep together. Let's still fight forward. Let's still effectuate change. Mm-hmm. And find alternative solutions. Yes. And also watch the new law to make sure that it is being enforced and interpreted properly, right? Because for a while there, new things get challenged a lot, and you have to kind of keep track. Yes, big organizations do this. I like in the United States there was a thing called March of Dimes. Very big organization, cure cancery type thing. I think it was some sort of childhood disease, might have been polio, something that got a vaccine. I think it was polio. But they were great organizations. They were still interested, and they switched over to birth defects, birth problems for little children and things like that, and they still exist. Although they're not collecting dimes anymore, because a dime is not worth very much. It's only 10 cents. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ellen and others are talking about when the law is negative, it went the other way, and it's not in your favor, that you look to alternative interpretations by the courts and by the citizens, right? Sometimes, all right, we've just had an example in the United States. President Trump signed an immigration law. Federal government, right? Right. And it was quite different than the law had been before, kind of draconian. He had said that he would. I mean, it wasn't a surprise, but he signed it into effect, and it was immediately challenged by the citizens. Protests, lots of protests. There were groups that got involved. It was taken immediately into the courts to see if it was constitutional, to see if he, not to see if he could do it, because he's the president of the United States. He most assuredly can. But to see if what he had signed was drafted, was created, written, so that it would conform to the Constitution, to the laws of our country. Now that's the part that we needed to think on, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So, the citizens protested, got taken to the court, got kind of thought about, right, and had to be modified. In fact, the modifications go into the courts, but you see, sometimes if the law is negative and the issues are strong, you're not out of the park yet. You can go look for interpretation, and also look to have the law modified because of citizen protest. And I know that this is a global show, and that some of you have more access to citizen protest than others of you. But in most places, a viable idea, right? And if you live in a place where that citizen protest is very, very restricted, you can look to interpretation also and how it's being enforced. Yes, I know this is a global show, and a lot of the United States is particularly fortunate that we have the ability to have such a thing as citizen protest, even against federal laws, and it is protected by the Constitution. It is our right to do so. And, I mean, the police back protests. They come and they make sure the streets are closed so that you can march and stuff like that. It's something that is organized and is okay to do. It's our right as citizens, and the government does listen, because I explained that we elect the government. A lot of you are in places where that is unfortunately not true, and so you will look to interpretation and to maybe making new laws that help out the law that's been made. Kind of make exceptions, right? Yeah, and enforcement exceptions and like that. Yeah, I know some go and protest may not be a practical thing where you are, but in some places it is, and in some places you have to think very carefully about new laws and how they affect you, and how to position yourself, if you can't make change, to fall under the new law properly, but still effectuate the change that you need to see. You see, it's kind of it's an alternative solution problem. You have to think about how it is that you're going to react, and what will be the most practical and what will be the most effective? Yeah, because that's really the key to it. What's going to work? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go on to, we talked about new laws. Let's go on to new science, right? Technology changes lots. And I confess that I have a fabulous office manager who actually watches technology change and tells me what I need to know and what I need to do. And that affects how we interact with each other, right? Science changes lots. Things have breakthroughs, right? New ways to treat something, new ways to look at something, new ideas, everything from medicine to the food we eat, right? Yeah, and all kinds of different science. Mm-hmm. Yes, and sometimes, yeah, it's true too, sometimes science is very negative. People are talking about the recent biological weapons attack in Syria and like that. And that's science and something that needs to be thought about and hopefully prohibited. I got to tell you, because that's just not good. So breakthroughs. Mm-hmm. And you need to incorporate the breakthroughs, as Michael says, into your prior knowledge and enhance your prior knowledge. It's a good point. Yes, Suki and others are saying you can't deny it's positive to reach your goal of a cure. Let's go forward and make sure that things are going well. Let's go forward and cure something else if we're a great group. I mean, there's always a different kind of cancer, right? Yeah. And, yes, a lot of people, Michael and Suki and others, are talking about incorporating prior knowledge. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we went in with this knowledge, and look, something happened. Something probably kind of good happened, or at least forward thinking. And it makes us have to reevaluate what we're going to do, reevaluate the path that we probably have already decided on, that we've had consensus on, because now we've got new information is what the key to it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Edie and others are saying if it's a negative that attempts to block the efforts of what you're doing because now they're outdated, you need a quest to move forward. I suppose sometimes science is negative. Technology affects something that you're doing in, or some sort of science affects something that you're doing in kind of a negative way. Mm-hmm. You wanted something different, something that was, well, more specific maybe to your issues. And now there's been a breakthrough, but it kind of makes everybody look away from what you're doing, right? And you need to find an alternative solution that maybe incorporates the new information, in fact it should, and have a quest to move forward. What we're going to do, there's been a breakthrough, but it's not really what we needed. Let's think about what our success looks like, what our goal looks like. Yeah, a lot of you, Ella and others, are talking about you have to envision success, envision what it is that you want so that you can go forward and get it, because you have to know what your path is, right? You have to know what success looks like to be able to understand when you've got it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, yeah, and sometimes new laws, new science have unintended consequences because somebody didn't think about your neck of the woods. Unintended consequences. It seemed like it was a good idea, but it kind of wasn't. Yeah? Hmm. Unintended consequences. Yeah. And so you have to think about that, too, and you think, well, is not exactly what we had in mind. Let's push forward and tell the world that so that they don't think that it's done. The issues are not complete. Yeah. So an unintended consequence sometimes. How about a political shift, right? We've had kind of a political shift in the United States, I'm sure, even if you're far away, and a lot of you are. And thank you all for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. We've had kind of a big political shift in the United States, right? Yeah, things are moving in a different direction, and we have a president who is very definite. Now, I'm not sure if that's good or that's bad, but he's very definite. And you need to be able to understand that sometimes politics shifts, right? Yeah. Hara says that it's a marketing and you need to lobby for political action. Lobby, L-O-B-B-Y, for political action. We actually have people who approach Congress people, the congressmen and women, and because they are the folks that vote on the laws, a lot of times the federal laws. And even if something is signed by the president, they try to influence. They are actually usually paid, and they are people who try to be effective in making new laws that benefit whatever organization, whatever side they're on, so to speak. And they're citizen-run. Sometimes they're corporate-run, too. And they actually, it's a full-time job to try to influence the influencers, influence the lawmakers. Mm-hmm. And that is marketing. And that is lobbying for political action, as Hara says. Yes. Yeah, this is true, too. Frank and others are saying that when you've got lobbyists and other people that are, that they are advisors and experts to understand the ramifications. Yes, because we as citizens, we as participants, we as leaders within a certain, within a, the confines of perhaps an organization, I do a lot of corporate, we tend to see things one way, which is why we need to be carefully researching, and also why you need an expert, why you need somebody who's really in the field and really understands all of the ramifications. If this comes to pass, what will be the results across the board, right? Because sometimes we can look at the research, we can look at the facts, which sometimes change, and we can not understand that we need an alternative solution. Because we didn't understand what it is that happened, what it is that we wanted, right? Yeah, we need to understand why. We need to understand what's going to happen and look to the future and think about the different alternatives that could occur so that we can brace for them, right? Right. Mm-hmm. And that's where advocates and experts do come in. Mm-hmm. Yes, Sharon and Liz are talking about power in numbers, right? That, like I just explained about the immigration laws that President Trump put into effect pretty fast in his presidency, because it was one of his campaign promises. And then they had to go be modified, and even he had to accept that they couldn't, that they wouldn't be law as he had originally planned, right? And, I mean, the president is the highest position in the United States. So, you know, for him to understand such a thing is real citizen power, right? And kind of proud. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so politicians everywhere are swayed. If you're not in a place where you actually have a lot of citizen power, I think that swayed by world opinion might be a sentence too, right? And nowadays, you probably have access to the internet, or you wouldn't be listening to this program, unless I understand in some places it's actually put on a thumb drive and listened to in some way. I'm not sure how, but I'm honored. But it is... important to get the word out if there's going to be real serious negative ramifications, right? Yeah. Hussein says that you, oh, this is a very good point. Hussein says also that you need to look at the cause of the political shift to be considered in for the modification. You need to look at what caused the political shift when you consider modification and alternative solutions. Good point, Hussein. Because sometimes the political shift has been coming. Sometimes there's like a sudden shift, right? And sometimes somebody like President Trump becomes a very powerful force of change and has real definite ideas, but when they go to be put into effect in the real world, the person with the power has to consider their options too, and what will occur, right? And that's to be taken into consideration when we recommend an alternative solution. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know some countries' politicians are, well, they're not elected by the people in that respect, so they're not as worried about what people think, but I think they all kind of worry about what the world stage thinks. All right, I'm getting some disagreement from people that live in places where, yeah, it's kind of tougher to be a citizen advocate. I am not recommending that y'all go out and get killed. I am recommend or jailed. I'm recommending that you work within the system to try to effectuate change, right? We do that here in the United States too. We really do. Even that marijuana story was looking at alternative solutions and thinking outside the box, but we worked within the system. We really did. I mean, we tried the federal system, and then we tried the experiment of the state ballot because we are citizen-driven as a country, more so than it sometimes appears. Because sometimes the citizenry are kind of ambivalent about the new laws, and nobody really leads the charge to protest. And sometimes there's lots of protests, like you guys have seen recently in this country. Yeah, it doesn't mean that we're not citizen-driven. It's just that some countries have a political mood, too. And this particular administration is getting some pushback. That's just a fact. Yeah, it's not really a political statement. It's just a fact that they're getting some pushback. Mm-hmm. So what other kind of change do we have to find alternative solutions for before we run out of time? How about funding changes, money? That is our next topic up. Funding changes. Mm-hmm. Elisa and others are saying that you need to have an alternative source set up to prevent being in trouble. Yeah, you need to have an alternative source of funding set up, kind of waiting to prevent being in trouble and having to go out of business or not making payroll or something like that. Very important. You have to reach consensus on that. That's why organizations have investments. Even churches. I belong to a church that has an endowment. That means that over the years, people have left a fairly substantial amount of money. But it's a pretty substantial church. I mean, it's got a building that needs upkeep, paid staff, all kinds of stuff that needs to be done, all kinds of services and like that, all cost money. So you need a board to really be the budget committee to really watch the money and make sure that if the economy goes a little south, for example, and people are not feeling as generous, that we won't be in trouble, right? that we won't have to cut back, that we won't have to take out another mortgage on the building or something. Yeah, so you need an alternative source, kind of a backup plan, kind of an emergency resource in case you lose funding from a fairly from a substantial amount. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could be, as people are talking about, that non-renewal of a grant. Sometimes grant organizations go out of business, or they in some way don't want to renew you, or sometimes they have like a rule about you can only be given a grant for a certain amount of time, and then they spread out the money to other organizations in the same area. That's relatively common, actually. I mean, if you're going to depend on grants, you have to constantly seek them. Mm-hmm. As Gary and others are saying, you need a staff person constantly seeking funds. If you're big enough, yeah, you do. Oftentimes, organizations, groups, have a professional grant writer, a person whose full-time job is to look for money so that we've always got some coming in. Yeah, took a sip of water. I just think my voice is still a little bit quaky, and it's been, what, 6 weeks or something since I had that croup? Whew. Yes, thank you. Yes, you were all very helpful. Thank you. People sent in all kinds of remedies and like that, because a few weeks ago I actually couldn't talk and had to end the show early. My voice came out. Yeah, so there's such a thing as a full-time staff person just looking for money. Just being a bad word, because it's important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Elizabeth, another thing, you need an alternative resources plan that can be readily put in place. Because sometimes things occur quickly, right? Yes. And it is true that you should have, if that's possible, to have kind of a pool of funds for emergency resources, especially if you have paid staff and things like that. You don't want to have a shortfall and have kind of a temporary glitch and somehow manage to go under, because all your hard work will be for naught, yes. And you can't keep depending on the board members to reach into their pockets. Now, some groups, of course, are leaner than that, and they don't have a lot of funding needs. Yes, yes. Recipe for Peace Now, for example, if you look at our website, I know that all of you pretty much have, does not ask for money. Did you notice that? We don't ask for any funds. We ask that you do it, that you go out and make the world a better place. And that's kind of eccentric of us, but it's because we have paid staff, but we're only interns, and paid staff is really kind of not paid by Recipe for Peace Now, but by the board members who allow their office staff to help, right? And we get money from the book sales that goes right back into the organization. So really, we are funded through book sales, which is a little iffy, I suppose, but we have some reserve because we don't have a lot of expenses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's all good. It kind of makes a circle, and we don't ask people to give money because we want them to do it and not just be here. I give you money, and now my conscience is clear. I have helped. Let's all actually make the world a better place. Yes, let's do it together. So that's my pitch, really. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's funding, and you always have to have an alternative solution to funding, because you've got to play the what if and keep some in reserve. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our next topic is going to be research and discussion. And we find out something that we didn't know when we came into this discussion, into this research. And now we have to think about alternative means, an alternative solution, because what we thought we were going to do doesn't look like it's going to be practical, doesn't look like it's going to be viable. doesn't look like we're going to be doing it. Yeah. So we have to go and we have to think about what is it that we need to accommodate so that we can go forward. Yeah. Thomas and others are talking about purposefully taking the alternative route as a first choice. When we came down to it, we all got together and we thought we were going to do this, but no. And we're going to purposely go forward and say, that's all right, we're calm. Let's look and see what we need to figure out. Right? Yeah. We need an alternative resource. We need an alternative route, alternative path. But it's not alternative anymore. It's our first choice. Because we've gotten over our prior path. It didn't work. Yeah. So it's really not alternative. It's what we're going to do. We're going to go forward, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mohammed and others are saying that you need all sides, all the research, so you have an informed consensus. Yes, Mohammed put informed in big letters, and I so agree. An informed consensus. We want to know everything about the issues, everything we can possibly get our hands on, because when we make our decision, we have to have all the facts. We have to know what we're doing. And it might need to be modified a little bit down the road, even at that. But we want to be able to say, look, we've really looked at all sides. We've really thought about the ramifications, right? We've really thought about what's going on. This is all good. Mm-hmm. Let's go forward. Let's now really, really think about this. Let's now really, really put our heads together and really get this done, right? Yeah. And that's the key to it, that you need to be able to really have all the information possible at the time. I mean, we just talked about the fact that sometimes things change, outside science, breakthroughs, other things. But when we reached consensus and we went forward in this path, it was our first choice. Well, it might be an alternative first choice, but it's our first choice, and we're going forward. And we've looked at all sides. Yeah, good point, Mohammed. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate to admit this, but a lot of you are saying it, Jill and others, and I wouldn't necessarily say it out loud as leader to my participants because people recoil at the idea, but it is nonetheless not untrue that, as Jill and others are saying, you might need to take a step back. You know how we always say push forward? Sometimes if things have changed, if you need to modify, if you need to think about an alternative plan, sometimes you need to step back and see what you're doing from a more objective angle, right? Yes, and see where this is leading us. Yes, this may indeed be time for an expert, a third party impartial. It might be us. Sometimes I'm brought in at that stage when things are not going as kind of expected, and I'm brought in to find out what to do about it, right? Yeah. And that's kind of tricky, but it's not a problem. We can go forward from there, right? Yeah. And it is something that we need to understand, that we're going to be able to really step back and look at it and really analyze what it is that needs to be modified is the key to it. Yeah, I may need to take a step back. I don't like to call it step back, though, when I'm talking about it to my participants. I say, let's think about this from a different perspective, for example. That's really what it is, though. Okay, let's get on to media, and we are going to run out of time. I hope we get to the recipes. I know you guys like them. Sometimes we kind of run out of time because we're having such a fabulous discussion. So media, a lot of people, Lindsay and others, are talking about a public opinion campaign. Yes, good point. Not only a public opinion campaign, but it is important if you have strong opposition. And the opposition is doing a public opinion campaign. Very effective to do a public opinion campaign. A lot of time and money is sometimes put into it. You'd be surprised. It looks citizen-run, but it's kind of more professionally underpinned, right? Sometimes you do need to have real, you don't necessarily have to have such paid professionals, but people that really understand how to reach the public and how to position in a sympathetic manner. Yeah? Yeah. Okay, in the United States and probably other places too, because this is very effective, and even in places that might not have such real freedoms, public opinion campaigns, well, you know how they have kind of styles to them, and things go in and out of style. But it seems to be very effective, at least at the moment. But then you have competing ones, and then it gets less effective. But to have kind of a personal sob story, I was helped because type sob story campaign type thing. Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah, it's effective, and it is kind of cloying, but people seem to like it, and it gets people to give you money. It gets people to be on your side. And nowadays, people do protests and things through the internet, to appealing to people to come, right? Yeah. There was a women's march when President Trump got elected. Fairly soon after his presidency, I must tell you, practically he hadn't done anything yet. He's just elected. And it was loosely organized, as in a lot of groups promoted it a certain day all across the country, and it was promoted online. It was promoted through organizations. It was promoted real grassroots, and millions of people across the country showed up to march in all different kinds of places, which was truly a public opinion campaign. And it was for a kind of general idea, women's rights, not a real specific idea. And it didn't really, the organizations that put it together didn't exactly have real specific agendas. And their agenda was to just make numbers known, to make our presence known, right? Yeah, that was the agenda in and of itself. It was very, very effective, surprisingly enough. Yes. So now, you know, so that's, and it was truly a general idea. So that's kind of interesting, eh? Yeah. Yes, Veda and others are saying there's strength in numbers, and there is. There's serious strength in numbers. Right? There's a certain amount of, yeah, Carolyn and others are talking about celebrity endorsement. Even in the Women's March, well, they weren't much celebrities, though. After it gained a lot of momentum, I guess there's celebrities in, like, New York, someplace where they already were, California, kind of were on a stage that was set up. But I think it was backwards. I think that they came on board because so many people were in favor. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so it was kind of, we can see that this is popular. I want to be popular. And I might not be such an A-list celebrity anymore. Oops, did I say that? Yeah. So I think that was kind of the other way around. But sometimes people do celebrity endorsement, and it does probably have an effect, especially if it's something that the celebrity actually has some gravitas, actually has done something with, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's media. Oh, yeah. People are talking about the actual, what I would call social media. Mm-hmm. And about my devices. You and others are talking about whether or not people should blog and things about what we're doing with our groups, right? My gut response is no. I actually have kind of an anti saying things off the cuff while we're doing it, and doing it in kind of just a manner that could be interpreted funny. No, don't put that in writing. It'll last forever. Somebody will take little snippets out of it, repost, and it'll come out completely wrong. I have an anti-informing the world rule as we are working, and that's why we assign a spokesperson. Very, very important. Yes, I know we're going to run out of time and not get to the recipes. We will try to get to them next time. But we're having such an important discussion. And the last important piece is that, yes, you should assign a spokesperson, somebody who represents the group and talks and participates with the media. Because talk is a big word nowadays. Blogs, sends out press releases, so to speak, and like that. Somebody needs to represent the group properly and not just haphazardly. That's the key to it. Represent it properly and not haphazardly. Yeah. It's important that you have a unified front and that you all really look at what's being put out and really decide that that's what you want to say. And I must confess that because we all get kind of too close to the information, right? We get kind of too close to the issues. I think that you should have a complete outsider look at it before it goes out into the world and say, what? What does that mean? Does this mean that you're advocating war? Yeah, because sometimes they look and they go, what's that? And you go, oh, my God, that's not what we meant at all. Is that how you see it? Yeah, important. So assign a spokesperson. Might be the leader. Not always. Might be somebody who's an expert. Might be somebody who's an expert in these topics, perhaps this particular area. Or somebody who's very, very good with the media. Some people have a natural knack. Yeah. Might be the leader, might not. Whoever it is should be the best at communicating and at answering questions if they're going to have questions. Yeah. So, my friends, we are out of time. Yes. Thank you. We will try to get to the recipes next time. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for coming and for listening. If you would like to find us, we're at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Prior shows, they're archived on that website. Yes. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.